Terrific. Well, please do keep Psalm 1 open, and we're going to be spending a little bit of time thinking about that on this theme that we've been hearing about on We Live by the Word of God. And why don't I lead us in a prayer, and then we'll dive in. Father, we thank you so much that you want to be known, that you reveal yourself to us, and you do so through your word. And so we pray now that you might help us by your spirit to be open to your word, to listen to your word, to delight in your word, such that we might grow deep roots in you, that we might be people who are fruitful for you and know what it means to be blessed in you for all eternity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Wonderful. Well, I don't know what you're up to on New Year's Eve. You're probably doing something very exciting. I was in front of the telly with my kids and, you know, Jules Holland, and then watching the fireworks, which were fantastic. And then we all trotted off to bed. What I found myself doing, and I don't normally do this, but I suddenly found myself sort of feeling, okay, it's 2018. What do I want to do in 2018? What do I want to achieve in 2018? And I ended up jotting down a few things on a to-do list of things that I would love 2018 to include. And they were all sorts of things: get fit, spend more time with my wife, have more sleep, all sorts of other stuff I might not tell you about. Heading off to the Etihad Stadium with my youngest son, Theo, who's desperate to go and watch the Man City match. He's a Glory supporter. Take him up to Manchester. Various other things that I thought, these are things I'd love to be able to do in 2018. And I don't know whether you have done something like that, or whether you're into New Year's resolutions, or whether they're just sort of the beginning of a new year, beginning of a new period of time. You take the opportunity to think, what do I want to be doing with my life in the coming weeks, months, year? I don't know whether you've done that or not. We often do those sort of things. And one of the things that I found myself doing as I was doing this and this, creating this list, was thinking, if I can do all those things, I'll be so pleased. I'll be so happy if I can do those things. Those things, I just would love to be able to do that. That will just delight me if I'm able to do that. And of course, these different things that I jotted down, I'm sure they're all good things, and they will bring a degree of happiness to them. But it will be fleeting. There'll be other things that I'll want to do. They won't ultimately bring me the happiness that I really want. And often we come up with these lists. We've come up with desires and aims for the future that we think will bring us happiness. I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe it is to get a new job because you're not particularly happy in the one you're in at the moment. Maybe it's to go on a fabulous holiday. Maybe it's to earn more money. Maybe it's to get on the housing ladder. Maybe it's to find a partner. Maybe it's to find your niche or to serve in a particular area. And you want to do it. And all these things are good things. But there is a danger that we think that they will be the things that bring us the lasting happiness that we really desire, that we really want. And I think this psalm is a really helpful psalm for us to look at. And this theme is a really helpful theme to us, for us to think about right at the beginning of a new year. As we ask this question, how can I find lasting happiness? It's a question we're all asking, really. How can we be happy in a way that lasts, that endures? And Psalm 1 takes us straight to that. In fact, the first word in Psalm 1, it's in our Bibles here, it's blessed, but that might also equally be translated happy. Happy is the one. And this psalm speaks about two types of people. It's quite striking. It contrasts two types of people. the righteous and the wicked. And it speaks about the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. I wonder if you noticed that as we were reading through that. The way of the righteous, that person is described as being like, have a look down at verse 3. Described as being someone who is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. That's the way of the righteous, like a tree. We all know what trees look like. Head down to Bishop's Park if you want to see some trees. And there they are, magnificent trees, deep roots, looking fantastic. Go to an orchard, see the trees over the seasons bringing up their fruit. And there's something about a tree that is just, it's got life, it's got solidity, it lasts. The storms, even the storms at the start of this week, don't impact it. That's how the way of the righteous is described, as being like a tree. And such a person is described as being blessed, being happy, a happiness that lasts. That's one way. The other way this psalm speaks about is the wicked. You see there in verse 4, not so the wicked. Rather, the wicked, what are they like? They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Do you know what chaff is? You know, the sort of the husks that come off the grain. And back in the days when you would do a bit of winnowing, when you'd get your fork, you'd have all your grain, and you'd chuck it up in the air, and the heavy grain would fall back down. But as the light breeze came through, the husks, the sort of the bits that no one really wants, it would just sort of go away because they're just sort of hollow and light and they just disappear. That is how the other way, the other person, the wicked, are described. They're like chaff. The wind blows away. What a contrast to a tree and the life in the tree. And it goes on, verse 5. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. They won't stand. They won't stand in tough times, but ultimately they won't stand in the ultimate judgment either. They're like chaff that the wind blows away. And do you see the destiny? It's right at the end there. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The way of the righteous, the way of the wicked, set up as contrast to one another. One leading to lasting happiness, the other leading to destruction. One, we have the metaphor of the solidity, the life in a tree by streams of water. The other, just like chaff, that just gets blown away, that gets destroyed, that perishes. Quite a contrast. And yet, it's so easy for the two to, in some ways, look quite similar at times. Back in Teddington, where I live, there's a route that I go from where we live to St. Michael's. And it's a little path between the railway line and the golf course. And it's a nice little path, a sort of bit of country to walk through, a muddy path, quite narrow, trees all around. And the other day, I saw my friend Carlos coming, 20 metres ahead of me. He was on his bike. He was someone I used to teach with, and bumped into him a number of times there, and saw him in his black jacket and on his bike, and I sort of stepped aside because you can't have two, you need to give a bit of space, a cyclist on there. I stepped aside and I greeted him out, you know, in a friendly way that I like to greet people. I just sort of said, "Here's the man," and gave him a big round of applause. And it was great to see him. I like Carlos a lot. It's how I greet people. And then the cyclist kept coming, and after about 10 metres, suddenly realised, that's not Carlos, is it? And the cyclist looked at me thinking, are you out of your mind? I'm not coming down this dodgy path again. It is easy to look at something and think they're one thing, but actually they are very, very different. And I think that is the case for the way of the righteous and the way of the wicked. How easy it is, in some senses, to think that they are the similar thing, but they're very, very different. Think Christmas trees. You can look at a Christmas tree over Christmas, and they seem to have life to them and a certain solidity to them. And yet, go around the streets of Fulham now, and they're just Christmas trees piled up on the side, and they're heading in a very different destination. They're lifeless. They're cut off. They're going to be destroyed. And the difference between the righteous person and the wicked person, the difference between the blessed person with lasting happiness and the person who will be destroyed, could not be greater. And in fact, that is why Psalm 1 deliberately puts blessed at the first word in verse 1 and destruction as the last word in verse 6. They couldn't be further apart, the psalmist is saying. These two ways, totally different. They might look similar. Maybe we think life and happiness is, we spot it in different people and we think someone's got it. But actually, the way of the righteous, that one will last. The way of the wicked, it won't. It'll lead to destruction. Now here's the question. Here's the question for us today. What is the difference between the two? What is the difference between the righteous person and the wicked person? What is the difference between the person who ends up with lasting happiness and the person who ends up destroyed, perishing? What is the difference of this psalm? Have a look at the psalm. See if you can see what it is. Is it the person who has the great fulfilling job, whilst the other person has the dull one with a dreadful boss and is underappreciated? Is the difference between the two the sort of the one, the happy person is the one who has the money and the person who ends up in destruction doesn't? Or one has the boyfriend or girlfriend and the other one doesn't? Or one is fit and healthy and the other one isn't? Or one went skiing in the winter and the other one didn't get away at all? So often we think those are the things that lead to the happiness or lead to life being terrible and empty with nothing. But what is the difference? Have a look down at verse 1. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. The person who is blessed, who has this lasting happiness, is the person who delights in the law of the Lord. That's to say, in God's word, in Scripture. The law of the Lord, as the psalmist would have written it, that would have been part of the Old Testament, but now we know all of this is God's word. And it's in God's word that the righteous person, the person with lasting happiness, delights. And that word delights, that means to sort of to treasure, to love, to cherish, not simply to know you've got to obey it, not simply to know stuff about it, but to love it, to delight in it. So much so that you meditate on it day and night. You think on it, the idea of just chewing it over. You know how it is. Maybe it's someone's giving you a compliment. They said, what a great job you did there. And you can live off that for a good day, just chewing it over in your mind. Or maybe more so, someone actually criticized you and irritated you. And that you can live a week off that. and be really irritated by that. But you know that thing of just mulling it over. It's just there in you. It's the sort of the narrative going through in your mind and in your heart. And the person who is blessed is the person who doesn't do that to, so much to compliments or to criticisms, but who spends that time meditating, thinking about, cherishing, dwelling on, chewing on God's word, loving God's word. The theme of today is we live by the word of God. That is where life is. That is where happiness is to be found, a happiness that lasts. It's like being a tree by streams of water. And that water gives the tree its life and rootedness and stability. And notice too, it's not simply a positive here. There's also a negative. There's the flip side as well. Do you see that in verse 1? Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked. That can be translated also, walk in the counsel of the wicked. Listening to the wicked. The wicked being those who reject God, who reject his ways. The person who's blessed doesn't listen to that or stand in the way that sinners take. Perhaps there's a sense there in being in the way and sort of behaving in such a way that people who reject God might take. Or sit in the company of mockers. Seems to be a sense here of sort of belonging in the company of mockers. The person with a lasting happiness won't do that, won't dwell on those things, won't follow those behaviors, won't belong in that company, which is so easy to do, isn't it? It's so easy in our lives, whether it's in the staff room, in the office, in our halls, with our housemates, just through media, through Facebook, that we think, that we behave, that we belong so easily to people whose actual ways are, they're rejecting God and his ways. And this psalm is saying that that's not the way to lasting happiness. Rather, by contrast, delight in the word of God. Meditate on it day and night. Now, why is that the case? Why is that the case? Well, I came across this card. I was given this card. I wonder if it's... Is there a picture coming up? I received this card from a friend just before Christmas. And it sort of worked quite well for Christmas. It's got a great escape theme, the sort of film that everyone has to watch over Christmas. You know, the scene where Steve McQueen, who's trying to jump over the barbed wire on his motorbike. And here we go. Just trying to read it from here. It was a great escape, but Steve hadn't thought through the consequences. There he is, the fish, the goldfish, making that break for escape. And it must have felt great at that moment as it is launching itself out of the goldfish bowl. I'm in the world, how exciting, how wonderful. But of course it's a disaster for the fish because there is no life outside the water. And it will simply perish. And I thought that's such a good illustration of sin, which is to reject God's ways, to reject God's word, and to make a break for it. And we think this is brilliant, this is so exciting, there's so much, there's freedom, there's happiness, there's wonderful stuff here. And yet, it's actually the way to destruction, it's the way to perishing. Father, if we're swimming in the right waters, as it were, swimming in God's word, God's word through whom we can know God. God reveals himself to us through his word. We know about the Lord Jesus and the gospel and the good news and the forgiveness and the life that's available in him. We know about how we're to live, how this world was made, how it was set up. What are the right ways to follow through God's word? And so it's swimming in this word. It's delighting in this word. It's chewing on God's word. Knowing our maker, knowing our redeemer. That is where freedom and lasting happiness is found. Not in the counsel of the wicked, or in the way of sinners, or in the company of mockers. So tempting, though, that can be. So I wonder, for 2018, what does your list look like? Well, top of my list should be, to soak myself in God's word. Over this next year, to soak myself in God's word. To read his word, to think about his word, to sing his word, to pray his word, to talk about his word. And that's what I'd encourage each one of us here to do, each one of you to do in this year ahead. We've seen these Bible reading plans, David. I wonder if I can mention this, because we've completely stolen this, like we've stolen most ideas that we do down at St. Michael's from St. Peter's. And I just think this is just wonderful, this Bible reading plan. It is a brilliant plan, realistic, so helpful, such an encouragement. To take a day, take just a short bit of time every day just to read a chapter of the Bible. What a brilliant, very practical, real way we can soak ourselves in God's word in this year ahead. What a wonderful thing to be able to do. To be part of a home group, being part of a small group, and making that a priority in this year ahead. Life is so busy, isn't it? There are so many different things. We're exhausted at the end of a working day. But what better thing can we do than to come together with a group of friends and soak ourselves in God's word? On Sundays, to keep making Sundays a priority, to come and not just to be present, but to engage. I find it so helpful to read the passage before I come. I know what passage it's going to be. Read about it beforehand. And so when you can listen to the sermon, you're even more able to engage with what's being said. I'd so encourage us to do that in this year ahead as a way of soaking ourselves in God's word. And then to let it marinate in the week ahead, the week that follows. Maybe pick out some of your favorite verses. And to know the life that is available in it. A few weeks ago, at our youth group meets on a Friday night, it's called Animate. And we had, quite an instant, two men with balaclavas burst in to the youth group and created a huge fright. The youth, my kids were amongst them, were absolutely scared witless. It was actually all part of a talk that our youth and children's minister, Johnny Woodbridge, who used to be here, many of you know, set up. He said it was rather more realistic than he expected it to be. And he was actually doing a talk on William Tyndale. And he was making a really serious point that William Tyndale was a guy who, in the 16th century, a reformer of the 16th century, and he had a passion to translate God's word, which then was only really available in Latin, into a language, the vernacular, the language that people could understand. And he did that because he realized how valuable it was to be able to read God's word for oneself. He actually died. He was arrested and executed for doing what he did. It was so dangerous what he was doing, and yet he realized the value of God's word. And we can so easily take for granted that we've got English translations of the Bible in front of us today. We've just heard it read. Here I am preaching from it. We can so easily take that for granted. And yet it is the most wonderful privilege that we have. And it is the way, according to Psalm 1, to a lasting happiness. And yes, in 2018, there will no doubt be ups and downs. And this is not promising us that we'll be endlessly happy now. But it is saying, ultimately, in eternity, this way, a way of soaking yourself in God's word, of knowing your Maker, of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, of knowing his forgiveness, his life, that ultimately that will bring you a happiness that lasts for eternity. Well, why don't we just take a moment of quiet to reflect on that, to reflect on how we might delight in God's word in this year ahead, to be like a tree planted by streams of water, and to know that ultimate blessing in that. A few moments of quiet, then I'll lead us in a prayer. Almighty God, we thank you so much for your word. We thank you so much for the life that it gives, because it tells us who you are and it tells us who your Son is and it tells us how we can be saved and it tells us how we can live. And Lord, we pray that amongst all the different voices that are out there in the world, that this year ahead we might listen to your voice more than any other, and not just listen but delight in, cherish, love, and through that know the lasting happiness that only you can bring. For your honor and glory we pray. Amen.